The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Be sure to visit our website, 945theanswer.com. While you're there, become an Answer Insider and download our mobile app. Just text the keyword iPhone or Android to the Big Rock text line, 877-235-9405, and I'll send you a quick note with the link so that you can take your favorite talk radio station anywhere in the world. So the state newspaper yesterday endorsed Mayor Pete in the Democrat presidential preference primary coming up on Saturday. Of course, last night, just a complete zoo here in Charleston, South Carolina. Welcome in as I continue this special broadcast from Charleston as we watched the Democrats pile on last night. I wanted to bring my friend Drew McKissick in for a few minutes to do a little post debate analysis here. Drew, I'm a little baffled here. I'm not really sure what we saw last night.
Well, we saw a I think you put it pretty well. We saw a zoo. We saw everyone talking over the top of everyone else and displaying to the whole world just how far to the left they've gone. I mean, you think about where you've come in the last, 30 years and with the Democrat Party. I mean, we've gone from the center of their party, if you will, being, say, with Bill Clinton, and then it moved further to the left with Barack Obama, and now it's moved even further and further to the left to where Bernie Sanders is their, leading candidate at this point. And, we saw them arguing for 2 hours last night over, just which flavor of socialism they're going to represent. It's kind of like the Baskin Robbins of socialism last night.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Which flavor are they going to be?
Yes, yes. Well, I tell you, and Mr. Chairman, I got to say, there were times that I was, and I've said this over and over this morning, that I was just embarrassed for them.
Oh, yes, and you can even take that even further with Joe Biden's campaign. I mean, really, it's almost getting to the point where he needs an intervention, and someone to show up and say, hey, you really just need to go on home and not do this to your career or your reputation. I mean, for goodness sake, yesterday morning he was talking about, announcing that he was running for U.S. Senate. I had to look at the news and I was like, has he moved to South Carolina and running against Lindsey Graham now?
Wow.
What's going on?
Drew, we have laws against elder abuse in South Carolina. to keep putting Joe Biden out on the campaign trail, that's elder abuse.
That's a good way to put it.
We've got
no matter what comes out of this campaign, we've got a great campaign to run. We've got, the president has what he had in 2016, a winning message. Now he has a winning message with a record of achievement to go along with it. Whether it's tax cuts, wages going up, job growth, the economy's booming. We've had something like 130,000 plus jobs created here in South Carolina just since he was elected. Manufacturing jobs coming back here. Big government regulations being slashed. And now I think this week we'll have 200 federal judges appointed. Total so far, with more on the way. I mean, to the point where the LA Times is running articles saying, complaining that Trump is flipping the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, from liberal to conservative.
That.
We're going to be able to, run that record against whatever comes out of their side. So whatever it is that does come out, if it's Bernie, if it's somebody else, we know what it's going to be. We know what it represents. It's just to what degree or how loud and proud they're going to be about it. But they are, and they're becoming more comfortable saying and admitting that they are what we've said they are for 30 years.
Yeah.
So, the more they talk, the better we do.
Yep. Does Jim Clyburn endorse Joe Biden today? Did we hear that?
I would think so. They've got a long-standing relationship, and, relationships are, they mean a lot in politics, obviously. And I would think he's definitely getting his arm twisted to do it, let's put it that way, because I mean, if Biden loses here, he's finished. Stick a fork in him. And quite frankly, though, at this point, if he doesn't win by a healthy margin, I think he's going to limp into Super Tuesday, and it's just going to be a slow political death instead of a quick one.
Yeah.
Because again, Bernie's doing really well.
Yeah, you're right. Anything but a decisive win for Joe Biden is actually a loss. I mean, even if he were to tie Bernie Sanders, yep. That's a loss for Joe Biden.
Well, it's a PR loss, obviously, and they're playing the expectations game and everything. But just in practical terms of the delegate math, you know, at this point, that starts to add up. And remember, Democrats allot their delegates state by state proportionally, whereas most Republican states, at least half of us, we have, you know, winner-take-all processes when we have primaries. And that means when you're dividing the delegates up five ways, even if you win, you're only getting a few delegates more than the guy next to you. And at some point, it makes it difficult to catch up with someone who has a delegate lead. No matter what happens, I think you're looking at probably at least a 40% chance that they're going to have a brokered convention. Nobody will have a majority on the first ballot. And, you know, that means second ballot. And that means those uncommitted superdelegates, most of which are elected officials, get the vote. Mm-hmm. And my guess is they're not going to want to run with Bernie at top of the ticket. And that means his crowd's going to get mad and burn the house down. And it's going to be entertaining. Get out the popcorn when they have their convention in July, because it'll be something to watch.
We just thought last night was a zoo. Can you imagine what it will be like then?
That's right. If you thought last night was bad, that's right. Wait till they have a convention. You're exactly right. Because his crowd, they're committed. That's the difference, you know. Bloomberg's got, you know, money, you know, they can stack up from here to the moon. But money only gets you so much. You know, if you can get your TV ads and everything else, and at some point there's diminishing returns for the extra another dollar that you might spend. But if your people don't have fire in the belly and they're not committed to doing the work necessary to win a campaign, then at some point you're going to run into a problem. And I think that's what Bloomberg's going to find out. You know, Bernie's folks have the fire. They're committed. They're working. I think if you look on that stage, you could probably say that Bernie's more committed as a candidate than Bloomberg is and has more fire in the belly. But, you know, at some point, that's going to tell. And if I had to place a bet at this point, I'd say I'd give, you know, Bernie maybe a 40% shot of having enough delegates to win this thing outright. But we'll see.
Yep. On the guest line with me this morning, Drew McKissick, chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party. I got to tell you, Mr. Chairman, yesterday I was out on the street interviewing some people, getting some recordings. I turn around, and there you are. And a few minutes later, I turn around, there's Attorney General Alan Wilson. I'm thinking there are more Republicans here than there are Democrats.
Well, we brought a crowd down, obviously, to represent the president. We had an active billboard campaign. I don't know if you've seen any of those around town.
I did, yes.
We even had the truck with the roving digital billboard, you know, broadcasting, displaying the president's record on jobs and the economy. So, look, I mean, South Carolina is the last stop on the political calendar where all of the national media are in one state at one time. Because after Saturday, they divide up and go all over the country for Super Tuesday. So it's with the Democrat debate here last night and all that media concentrated here in Charleston, it was a great opportunity for us to be out there and, you know, counter program a bit. And the president will be here Friday, and we'll have even more counter programming, if you will.
Big day in Charleston on Friday, and of course he'll be in Charlotte on Monday. So a lot of opportunity for South Carolinians to see the president in the next week or so. Any idea, Drew, how many people have registered for Friday?
At this point, I don't know. I am still in a hotel room at the moment, but later today I'm going to be meeting with some campaign officials, and that's one of the questions on my list, how many people have actually registered to be there, and other details about the event and so forth that are coming together now. But I know in every case so far they've had obviously more people register or try to get in than they've had room in any facility. So this venue holds about 14,000 people, I believe. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, 30,000 or 40,000 had actually registered to get in before it's over with.
So the advice is get there early.
That's right. It'll be a Republican version of Woodstock, you know.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, always good to talk with you. Appreciate your time. It was good to see you yesterday.
Yes, sir. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Have a safe trip back up to Greenville.
All right. Sure thing. You be safe as well.